Time of the signal, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned now for comedy.
Around the corner and down the street comes the street sweeper. And I'd like to present a friend and talk to him about a few things and whatnot. WHAT. This matinee with Bob and Ray. Bob is in the blue suit. I'm wearing a striped suit. And Bill Green is wearing, well, that defies description. But anyway, Bob, you say
something. He's wearing his college pin today. That toothbrush in his lapel.
Bill Green, the
Bill.
Hey, Green.
Bill.
That's good. 12. Now, we'd like...
Bill.
Here's... Ladies and gentlemen...
Well, I'll pick up the record. Here we go. That's all.
We've picked the needle off the record. I was just describing Bill's college pin that he's wearing in his lapel, that toothbrush there.
You mean...
He went to Colgate.
Hey, boy.
Hey. Wow.
I do too. I went to college. That is funny.
No.
Wonder why. I also wear a toothbrush. I went to Yale. Why isn't that as funny as Colgate?
I don't know.
But that's beside the point. Friends, Bill Green, the fellow who was playing the piano, I don't really think you know it, but he played the piano with the Great Budapest String Quartet for a good many years. Didn't you, Bill? He also played drum in that fine organization. And
he doubled
bugle.
The drum, yeah.
And he played bugle. We have Lyle Gum Jr., bugle of Troop 40, here this afternoon to describe a few things in general.
Hi, Ray.
Hello, Lyle. Bugle.
Hi, everybody.
What's new and exciting with you and Troop 40?
Well, nothing very much. Get this way from blowing that bugle all the time, you know?
I know. Your lips get kind of fuzzy, don't they?
Yeah.
They get very loose. You can't control them. I suppose you have a hard time eating grapes, too.
Yeah.
What does it sound like a bugler play eat grapes?
Well,
How do you, if somebody sent you around, say, over to your house, a pound of
for Christmas
grapes,
or for my birthday?
Well, that would make a difference, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Well, let's take...
Well, enough about me.
Let's talk about me, huh? Phil, what brings you to the air?
What brings you to our microphone here?
I have a couple of public service announcements to make here.
Phil, let me see them.
Pass those to us before you read them.
You wouldn't be able to read these. These are written in English.
Well, I can't let you do it unless you explain to me what it's all about.
Well, one is a poem written by my little daughter, number two daughter, Julie.
Uh-huh.
And she asked
for it's the musical.
It's a very tender
family
thought. Are you grooming her to replace Margaret O'Brien or something? All right.
Could be.
Now, what's the other one?
She looks something like Don Silvio, come to think of it.
Well, would you like to hear the poem?
Go ahead, sure.
The title of this is Christmas. I wish I had.
Is this going to be a sad note? Do you want me to play music?
No. Please, that would make it sad. In December, when Christmas will come, that will be the time for all the fun. Time to
just
get...
a minute. How old is this child?
7.
Well, will you explain
how long
to her
have you known this child?
Will you explain to her that sum and fun do not rhyme and that I don't like people who take poetic license, period. I just don't like that license. I never take it. When I speak in rhymes, I get words that rhyme. I like to know why some people think that they can use poetic license all the time when I never do.
Hey, shut up, will you? Go ahead, Bill.
Shall I start over?
Yeah.
In December, when Christmas will come, that will be the time for all the fun.
Well, that's right.
Time to get some gifts and toys. Time to get some fun and joys. Children shout, Christmas is here. Santa Claus and all his reindeer. Ho, ho, says Santa, here's your fun. I have Christmas joys for everyone.
Thank you, Ted Malone. And now...
It's beautiful. And I think that Niles displays great talent. I bet you're proud of her.
Judy, in addition to being a songster, she sings, you know.
Beautiful.
And she dances.
In addition to that, she writes poetry. I think that's very wonderful, Bill.
Well,
where did she get her talent?
Not
from you, certainly.
I don't know whether you'd be interested or not, but Louis B. Mayer and myself are like this. And I could call him. I think he's out in California. Why not call Louis now?
Call him right now.
Hello, operator. Give me Louis B. Mayer, please. Hollywood, sure.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Louis?
Yeah.
Ray Goulding.
Right on.
How's everything, boy?
Oh, pretty good, Ray.
How's your latest movie?
What'd you say this was?
Flicker, Son of Thunderhead.
Yeah.
How is it going?
Fine. Going swell.
Well, look, I'm calling from Boston. I've had my scouts...
Where are you calling from?
Boston. And what do you think? Peg O'Brien's on the way out?
Well, I don't know. We've been kind of worried for a little while, but I guess the kid's going to stick around with us.
Well, certainly hope so, but I have a kid up
right,
here.
Well, thanks for asking anyway, and I'll be talking to you again, huh?
I can help you again, Louis. Be glad and
okay.
Call me.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
How'd you make out, Louis?
He didn't
very
stay.
Anxious to have your daughter come out there.
So what else is new?
Well,
what else was there?
What's the other public service announcement?
Last night, we played a Christmas party dance over at Radcliffe College.
Yeah.
And we got on the job rather early before all the guests had arrived.
Oh,
and
you Dickens, you.
We saw two girls sitting there with long faces. And they weren't dressed in...
I prefer that type of girl myself.
I remember one time I went to a dance and I saw somebody with a long face and I went over to him and I said, "What's the matter? Are you feeling lonely?" And the long face answered... was a horse.
Well, I was just speaking figuratively.
Go on.
Well, it seems that one of the girls...
you have a beautiful voice.
First of all, are you panning yourself off as a molder of public opinion?
As an entrepreneur?
Are you telling these people that you're on the radio and that you'll do things for them?
Well...
Are you going around doing that, Green?
Look, Green...
Because if you are, you know...
You can divorce yourself of this program immediately.
No,
we'll put you back on...
We can always get Eddie Miller, you know.
Easy.
I was just trying to do a kindly service.
All right, go on.
Now, one of the girls had made some infractions of the rules, so she wasn't permitted to go to the dance. And the other girl stayed, had a cold. He called her up at the last minute and said he couldn't
come. I've got news for her. I saw him over at the theater with another girl.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
he didn't have a cold.
The two girls couldn't attend the dance.
I see.
So to atone for missing the dance in some way, I promised to play Body and Soul for them, for Phoebe and B over at Radcliffe.
Phoebe B. Baby?
No, Phoebe.
Phoebe B. Baby in her new canoe canal?
No.
Yeah, Naugatuck, Niasagatuck, Connecticut?
No. Phoebe and B.
Phoebe and B.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't mind if I play a song for them, do you?
No.
But you
I always pronounce that name Phobe.
Phobe, yeah.
They pronounce it Phoebe, huh?
Uh-huh.
And B, of course, is short for Bobby, I suppose.
Well, B is the one who wasn't, who was the bad girl.
Uh-huh.
She came in 5 minutes late one day. You know,
well,
late,
that's what
like
she
that.
Gets.
I mean, when I set up that college over there, I set down Lars, Bill.
Well, and I
just can't
I
them
keep
broken.
Telling, as dean over there, I like to have those girls come in at the right time. 5 minutes or 5 hours makes no difference.
That's right. I mean, the fact
and
remains...
I tell those girls that.
Fact
they
remains,
just don't pay any attention to me.
Just a moment, Dean. The fact that she was late... I can't stand anyone who's late.
I tell him
anything.
I can't stand anyone who's late.
But I think she had a good excuse for being late.
Of course, she had a good excuse. I shouldn't have been so rough with her, I suppose.
Dean, supposing we have another dance. Will you let her go, please?
I might do that, yes.
Thank you very much, Dean Gum. And now, Bill, why don't you go and play?
Why don't you play that very same song there?
Bob and I will dance around the old breakfast table.
There's the great Johnny Green composition. There was a piano player.
Who?
Johnny Green.
Who made this toast, incidentally? It's awful.
I know he wrote it.
Johnny Green wrote Body and Soul. That's a late bulletin, friends, from Bill Green.
Thank you.
ten fingers.
Well,
that was nice, Bill. I like that very much.
I think that was very beautifully done, Bill. I'm going to call Louis B. Mayer again. Josie, I think we could replace him with you. Because he plays the piano quite a bit in movies, particularly with Jimmy Durante and June Allison, whenever she stops crying.
Oh, I've got to tell you the most important thing. These two girls organized the Bob and Ray fan club over at
Why Claire. Didn't you say so? If there's anything I like,
honestly, that's the truth. And they also listen to Ken and Bill in the morning while making up the beds.
Well,
that's about the only thing I'd ever want to do if I was listening to the Ken and Bill show.
Yeah.
Either be make up a better tale
or
he's down.
Sleeping.
But that's all beside the point on your head, Bill. Now, if you go back to the piano, please, and finish that crossword puzzle. The word you're searching for is juxtaposition. I think you'll find that fits. Now then, Arthur, what's new with you, see?
Hello, 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 hello.
Why don't you sing your theme for us a little bit? Huh?
Well, I have to have my piano.
Run over there, will you, Wally?
Archie.
Or Archie?
Let's have a little piano music. No, you. Yeah. You.
Bill, you're a genius.
Chesterfield satisfy women and men. Chesterfield over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by Chesterfield ABC.
Good evening, America. It's time to eat soup. His old soup face himself, Eugene Crumlin. Thank you, Gene.
Thanks,
we're all
Tony.
Gagging on a couple of these here spaghettis that were thrown in on the noodle soup, you know?
Thanks, Tony, very much.
I don't mind noodle soup if it's small noodles, but when I throw up a large spaghetti in it, boy, that's trouble, you know?
Yes, hello, hello, hello.
Yes, it's time for Eugene Crumlift and his Stop the Scouts program.
Wait a minute now, Tony, till I tune up my ukulele.
Sure. We've got all night, see. Incidentally, don't tear up your ad lib sheet.
That's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to tear up this commercial.
Oh, well, what do
this
you
makes
know?
Everybody,
he really is, Frank.
This makes everybody
laugh.
He's
going to show how he thinks right on his feet, or with his
here
feet.
Here I go. Just to prove it's all ad lib. There it is, little pieces. Tear it so slow.
I'm going to lay bulletin. That's your contract. I made a substitution there.
Well, hello, hello, hello. What you don't know is I have another copy of the commercial underneath here. See, but I'm going to tear this one up too, just like that. Okay. What you don't know is I got another copy.
I know, it goes on for 15, 20 minutes.
I have 15 copies of the commercial underneath.
Well, Eugene, here's our first good scout. His name is Lyle Gum. He's a bugler. And,
thanks, Tony. Where do you come from, Lyle?
Boston. Boston, Massachusetts.
And who did you discover?
Me.
Where did you first discover yourself?
Shaving one morning. I found me standing there.
I see. And you.
And I was singing, and I said to myself, that ain't bad for a young guy what's had no training. And I said, I'm going to speak to Eugene and see what he can do with you.
Would you like to try some of this soup I have right here?
No, thanks. I saw them cooking it.
Now, you're going to sing a little song for us?
That's what I'm planning on doing. Sing a song for
what
you.
What type of songs do you do?
Oh, mostly romantic ballads.
Like what?
Well, like Casey and the Railroad, like that.
And have you had any professional background?
Oh, yes. Surely.
Where did you appear?
Well, I've appeared at Hampton Beach.
You've appeared at Hampton Beach?
In a news trunk, so I just on a piece. I didn't do no singing, but
I
was appearing up there for a matter of hours.
Uh-huh.
Then I made an appearance one time at Park Street Under. That was a command, the performance.
Hello, hello, hello.
You said that.
So I did. I tore up the wrong thing. Well, as your accompanist, Archie, you are...
I brought my own accompanist, my brother.
I see. Does he play...
Melvin Gum.
Does he play professionally?
No, regular way. You know, 10 fingers, pounds away with his feet on the bottom there.
All right. Well, let's let our spotlight fall then on Lyle Gunn.
Oh, I knew you were going to drop the spotlight on me. That ain't fair. How can I sing now?
Now, everybody be very quiet because we want...
Me, particularly, because I'm out like a light.
We want the reaction meter to work absolutely right.
Incidentally, how does that reaction meter work? I mean, I've sat home nights and sometimes I said, he should have won, the guy got that big reaction. And the other fella what didn't have much of a reaction.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I have a foot pedal underneath here. See?
Oh, yeah.
And they just put that. See it go away.
You're the croupier. Yeah. Something like that.
Okay, now let's have your song, huh?
Okay, sure. Take me out to the ball game.
That's a good timely one.
Take me out to the park. Where's Alvin Dark?
You got the word,
take
see?
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the park.
Hello.
Come on, Al Dark.
Hello.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Hello, hello.
I ate very cranky. It was cranky. Take me out to the ball game. If they don't win, it's a Sturdly. Or it's 1, 2, 3, 4 balls. Take your face. It's a little wrinkle I put in by myself.
Now let's have a generous round of applause for this young Lyle Gum.
Boy, great.
Wonderful. Now I think it's time that we have a little reprise. Our time is just about up. Let's bring out each one of our scouts here. First, we had the young marimba player from Red Bank, New Jersey, who played Kitten on the Keys.
You remember me, folks.
Then we had the female quartet from Salt Lake City, Utah. And finally, the...
Thanks, folks. Thanks, folks. Thank you.
That's five. We only have four. Then we had the bird impersonator from Red Bank, New Jersey.
I also play the marimba.
And finally, we had the young songstress, Lyle Gum.
Wake me up to the ball gate.
All right, that's enough
now.
Let's see who the winner is. I see by our reaction meter that the winner is... Harvey Crumlift. Harvey... Will you come back out here, please?
Thanks a lot, Eugene, for starting me on this rubber ladder to success.
Well, you've got a long road to hoe.
I won't be appearing on your program in the morning. I don't like it. I got a late bulletin for you. I want to be spotted with Jack Smith.
And we're sending you over to see a big producer who may put you in a Broadway show. How does that sound to you?
Awful. There's one thing I hate, it's a stage, you know?
Want to try some of this soup I have here?
Oh, thanks. You couldn't give it to me.
Well, I see our time is just about up for tonight, but we won't be back again. Tony.
Yeah? Did you call me, Eugene? I'm laughing over here.
I see you wearing your college pin, a toothbrush in your lapel. Where'd you go to college?
Yale.
Sign me off, Tony.
I prepped at Dr. Lyons. Well, friends, you've been laughing and giggling and smiling through Stop the Scouts with Eugene Crumlin. And he'll be heard again next week at the same time when he's brought to you by soup.
Want to try some of this soup, Tony?
Oh, thanks. I seen him make it.
Wait till I tune my ukulele.
I have a nasty cough here.
It is rather a bad cough. It's too bad we don't have a cough.
Where is Ken today?
Kenny?
Yeah, what's
that? Ken Wilson. I haven't seen him for years, have you?
No. Ken is still sick, I guess.
Are any of the funds missing?
No, not that I know of. No, I haven't. By George, why don't we look in the strong box, Bob?
All right. Let's open it right here.
We keep it strong, friends. We keep a little loose cheese wrapped around it.
Just down these few stairs. You want to come along with me?
When we get one of Jack Benny's writers to come with us, he could make it much funnier when we get there.
Our sound effects man wouldn't do any harm. Just down these few stairs. Keep the strong box down here. Keeps it cool. Money doesn't stick together. Just across this corridor here. Now, I think through this door. Yeah, just down these few steps, Bill. Be there.
You go along.
Aren't you coming? Well, I don't want to go down there alone.
Well, go ahead. I'll be right up here at the head of the stairs.
You'll just be there.
Just keep whistling.
Okay.
And if somebody grabs you by the throat, I'll come right down to help you.
It's so ludicrous.
Wait a minute here. There's a note being written to me.
That's some magic handwriting there.
Isn't it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Bill, what is it going to be when you get through?
Well, I knew just what. Call the conference.
Bill is, yeah. Bill has had a wonderful idea here. I can see it.
Very good, Bill.
You'll
see me in my office after the program.
Put it on paper and get it.
I'll talk to you about it. Now then,
now it's time for Heart's Content. The new radio serial starring Marcia Van Alshot as Grace, Sherman L. Sturdley as Edward.
One moment, please. We've had so many requests for those Heart's Content that we offered that we only have two or three Heart's Content left. So if you'd like one of these Heart's Content, simply address your postcard to us, Heart's Content, care of this station. And by return mail, we'll send you out gift wrapped a beautiful Heart's Content.
For Young Love, we have the Puppy Tent.
But now to our story. The story that asks the question, what time is it?
This is the story of a young, sophisticated New York debutante.
Hi, folks.
Who goes out west seeking romance and happiness in a deserted mining town.
Also seeking my husband, the bum.
She proves that she cannot find romance and happiness.
Ain't
and
nothing out here.
Trouble she meets and the pitfalls go to make up her life in Heart's Content.
As we're looking on her, she's in a pitfall where she's just fallen. She's crying and sobbing.
Hey, lady.
What?
You just fell into that pit.
I know what I've fallen into.
It's a pitfall, you know.
Yes. Would you help me up, please?
Sure thing.
I'm crying.
What are you doing, crying?
I haven't seen that. I'm not a very effective actress.
How long have you been on the show?
It's my third day.
I don't think you'll last.
Aren't you the neurotic on that other mystery program?
Yeah, I fear quite a few of them.
Well, I recognize.
Glad you asked me that.
Well, I
also heard every morning for 4 or 5 hours. I side on with, hello, hello, hello.
Oh, I've heard you.
Tune my ukulele now.
Oh, I've heard you, yes. Would you help me up out of this pitfall, please?
Sure thing.
Ooh. My lands, I've never seen so many peach pits down in there in my life.
Now, what was it you came here to Heart's Content for?
Find my husband.
Right. When did you last see the gentleman?
He was on the Harvard team that went out to play Stanford.
What's that again? Oh, we have a few Harvard students in the studio, friends. And,
tell by the haircuts.
No, as a matter of fact, you couldn't tell by their haircuts. I could only tell them by the points on their head. But we're glad to have them. In fact, they're the two fellows that went to River School, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And they were up here. I suppose you folks probably remember the day.
You remember them. Lyle Gum and his brother Chewing.
Sure. That's right. Well, they're here anyway today.
They're here, but getting back to me, we were standing there in Heart's Content, listening to Grace say,
Well,
the scriptwriter had a bad day. He didn't turn out much copy.
Oh, well, so it goes.
Grace, I might say, is famous for her cliches.
Oh, well, that's life.
Just the other day, Grace said,
happens to everybody.
And tomorrow we'll hear Grace say,
I should worry.
That's tomorrow on Heart's Content.
Oh, who cares? Oh, I'm not worrying.
Hey, Mary?
Yes, Bob?
Hi there.
Hello, folks.
Haven't seen you. What are you wearing that cowboy hat for?
I like it, Bob, believe it or not. It keeps me warm. I can pull it down over my ears.
And starting a friend?
I don't know. I think a lot of women, particularly... women who ride horses should wear cowboy hats.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think they could do something for you. I mean, for instance, supposing you you had your hair cut too short. There's nothing like a cowboy hat to cover it up. Of course, people will probably giggle at you for wearing it. But once you get over it, that first week when you have the cowboy hat on, I believe you're all set. I was talking with Mr. Goulding, my legal advisor, this morning. And
what time this morning?
About 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Goulding said that you should...
Well, then, what did he say? Mr. Goulding, I might say, is out of the studio right now, so he doesn't know a thing that's being said about him.
What Bob doesn't know is I'm backstage, very depressive.
What Ray doesn't know is I know he's backstage, and I have another button here.
Bob doesn't think that I know that he knows I'm backstage here. Meanwhile, I'm changing my location to the organ loft.
Ray doesn't know it, but I'm already in the organ loft, and...
What Bob doesn't know is I have a special trap door in the organ loft that will let him fall into Joe Kelly's magic barnyard.
What he doesn't know is I'm not standing on it.
What I already know is he's in the magic barnyard now. But what I don't know is, what time is it?
And with that, we listen once again to Bill Green with a very brief offering.
No, we don't want to hear him now, Bob.
I'd like to hear a little more piano. He hasn't done much on today's show.
Well, he played Body and Soul, and he played it very beautifully, and I think that's enough.
Why don't you play a little bit of Under the Double Eagle March, huh? Just to keep us in the mood? Sure.
One of our favorites.
This may be the next Bob and Ray record.
All right, students, march right in. Take that gun out of your mouth. Today, Eddie.
I don't know, some guest speaker, I think.
Oh, boy, ain't gonna get out of arithmetic.
I'm getting out of geography.
You're getting out of here. Incidentally, did you see that?
All right, Miss Gum.
Oh, what's
wait
that?
A moment here. If the principal hears you swinging that song, we'll all be in Dutch.
Is it jawohl, well, I've been in Dutch here for some time. I didn't know whether you were going to call on me or not, but you did finally puff in my meerschaum pipe here in Dutch.
Did you happen to see or hear what
listen to me on my other program, Dr. Christian.
Uh-huh. I always tune on you in you for Mr. Keene, Trace of Persons Lost.
Yeah, well.
Well, okay.
What did you say about Fred Allen?
I was going to say, did you happen to see what he says?
Yeah.
About what he learned?
He's all right. I like him.
He's all right, that Freddy.
Yes, sir. He's great. But anyway, I laughed when I read that he said all he learned in algebra was that X equals his father's signature. I thought that was very funny. And also the fact that he could earn more money chasing runaway horses in Mattapan than he could in Boston show business, which is certainly a reflection on you, Bob, the leading show business figure in town.
I've done all I could, and I've just thrown up my hands.
All right, hand over the wallet.
Well, look, friends, despite the fact that we'd love to stay here for the rest of the afternoon, we can't do it because of
previous
program commitments.
Commercial commitments, too.
That's right. There are programs scheduled from now right through until 1 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Believe it or not.
And we just have to get out in order because the whole schedule would be all mixed
up.
Thrown
into juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition. And so we will have to say goodbye now. And then on Monday, we'll say hello again at 1 o'clock.
Good. I think that's an awfully cute arrangement, Bob. And I think we're all indebted to you for thinking
about it. That's all right. I think of those things.
Matinee with Bob and Ray is a regular public service feature. This afternoon's production was under the direction of James Sullivan.
Who?
James Sullivan. No relation to John Florence Sullivan. Well, we'll see you Monday, friends. Have a pleasant weekend.
Marsha Van Allshot played the part of Mr. District Attorney.
I'll try to have a pleasant weekend. How about you, Bob?
I'll try to.
We'll see you Monday.
So long, everybody.
Bill Green played the piano. Hope Ken Wilson is back with us Monday.
So long. Be back or else Monday.
This is WHDH.
Or else Tuesday.